this is our first day with the book of Revelations, okay? On the video, we only got about 23 minutes because somehow Marty Justice thinks I talk too much, okay? And he cuts me off. He says, look, you're running out of time. For us, though, we got 3 hours. Look, Irene, at least try to hide it. She's, I got grandbabies. Now, listen, here's what this means. If you got a question that pops up in your head, let's ask it, okay? Because we're all going to be growing and learning. It is the book of Revelation. When we say, like, people have been terrified to read it, it's like, it's really not terrifying. For those of us who are saved, it's not a terrifying thing, you know, because people get caught up. The dragons, the locusts, the stuff. Calm down. There's messages about symbolism in the first part. But the first three chapters, which is what we're going to cover today, it's about the church. All right, and about what he's speaking to the seven churches. We'll break down all seven churches. See how that's working for 3 hours? I ain't stopped it. You don't have to laugh like that. It's twice. Just giving it up. But God will get us. God will get us through, right? So Book of Revelations. By the way, the next several titles will be the Book of Revelations chapter, whatever chapters we'll be covering here. And be ready to ask questions. So, Chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. All right. And now, if we've been hearing, if you've been any person of faith, you know, Jesus is coming soon, right? We're like, well, Jesus soon is different than our soon, right? Or what we think soon is. But God's grace and mercy is like, I'm giving everybody the absolute greatest possibility chance to be right. And so whatever time I'm willing to take to do that, he does it. And so in understanding that, if you go back and, this is so much. It's so much to it. If you go back to Jewish customs in Matthew 25 about the 10 brides and they had the oil and five of them didn't keep the oil and the other one. Well, the way it worked was when there was a deal made for somebody to get married, right? The father, the groom and his dad would go prepare a place for him and the bride to live. And the dad had to go because he didn't trust the groom, who was way too excited to be with his wife, to build something stable. He was going to throw up a shack. Let me go get the girl. Let's kick it, you know. But he wanted to make sure he build something with good foundation and good structure. So it took time. And that's why you hear in that story when it came, the groomsmen would ride through the middle of the city in the night. Because once it was done, the son was like, I don't need a nap. I just need to go back. I'm going to go get my bride, right? And they would go through and they would sound the horn. And that's why they had to have their lights ready at all time. And the brides that didn't, they couldn't see their faces. So they didn't know if it was their guy or not, right? And we do marriage a lot different now, right? We actually get to know people and stuff. But can you imagine that? Is that his camel? I don't know. I can't see the license plate. You know, like think about right now. Oh, that's my man. Like, you got to know what color. Like, how did they know? Like, I would have been there like, dude, you're going to have to make it different. I think I'd have been like, you know, or Irene's laugh deal. But here's the deal. Jesus went away to prepare a place, and he wanted to prepare a place so that we all would be able to be there for eternity, right? And John, it says, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you there. In my house are many mansions. And he says that. So kind of that's where Revelations is going. And here's a benefit to you. I'm not even going to read all the verses in chapters 1, 2, and 3. I'm gonna be catching you up in the outline. See, isn't that? See, y'all don't know the difference between y'all's reactions to good news and bad news is the same. So I'm going to assume it's all good when I say stuff. Okay? I'm just going to be like, oh, that was good. Okay, so revelation, the word revelation, and by the way, this was of Jesus, not of John. Sometimes people confuse, think, oh, that was a revelation of John. No, it's the revelation of Jesus. It's about Christ, right? It is, I'm going to try to say this Greek word, apokalypsis. It means unveiling, a revealing, a reveal. It means to reveal. So have a relation. Have revelation means to reveal. To have an unveiling, to uncover, when something is being revealed, that's what God was saying. And so for us, and for anyone to run from the book of Revelation, they're missing an opportunity to see exactly what God wants us to see, right? And I need that to be revealed to me. I'm one of those, if I read something and I don't understand it, I need it revealed to me. I need that revealed to me, and I need that to be shown to me. So God, show me what that looks like. So it is all about Jesus. It is all about how all of this that you're serving and walking with Christ and believing in Christ, how it's all going to come back, and God's going to show himself strong, that you haven't been serving God for nothing, that it hasn't been just a lost cause, I'm glad you were here, glad you made some good decisions, but, you know, you're going to die and turn into a crescent ranch just like everybody else. Whatever it is that the reincarnated thing may believe. But Jesus says, no, here's the revelation. I'm going to take you to heaven with me. All right? And so I've come here to do that. So Jesus, and it's all about Jesus and showing who he is and the blessing that comes from reading about his revelations, right? When you have a revelation about Christ, what's our number one revelation about Christ? And I'm going to answer all the questions for you so I don't get frustrated. But when you have a question too, you ask yours, what is the revelation of Christ? He is our Savior, right? The Savior. Awesome. The blessing that comes from enduring in our faith to spend eternity with Jesus and reading is hearing, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, that's Romans 10, and so it just keeps connecting. He said to read it out loud, right? There's times like you go to restaurants or some places, don't say Jesus. People get weird. Right? Because you say Jesus, like, unless they're saying it the wrong way, right? And he says, read it out loud. Why? Because somebody may need to hear it. Sometimes it's just us. Read. Have you ever been reading your Bible silently and, like, don't remember anything you read? Amen. Right? Hand up. Then you got to go back and read that thing out loud. Go read it out loud. My whole house needs to hear it. My windows need to hear it. My car need to hear it. Everything. So it's saying read it aloud. And I thought that was important that it said read it aloud, because then internally, when you're having those internal voices that's fighting with you, your faith isn't working. Why did you believe in this? You've been wasting your time. You've been doing all this stuff. And so you have to go read it out loud. Thank you, God, that I've given my life to you. Right? Thank you, God. I've given my life to you. Thank you for the revelation of Jesus, the revelation that I've given my life to you, not to man, not to people, but I've given my life to you. See, and that's important, because if you don't give your life to Christ and you let other people influence you, they're never going to reveal why they're trying to influence you. Jesus does. And that's what makes his revelation even that much better. I can't wait to see how excited we're going to be when we get to the dragon weeks. But I want you to know how blessed you are first. I need you to know how blessed you are the first time. And so those are things that we're looking at. So it is enduring. So faith to live starts with being faithful to read. There's a guy, I'm just going to throw this little plug out there. There's this guy, he talks about brain memory, having a strong memory. Having a strong memory, and he talks about how to be able to do that and being able to put yourself in position to remember things you read, remember things you do, remember names, remember people. And he was saying it. He's like, think about it. No one ever says, I remember your name but forgot your face. We usually say, I know your face, but I can't remember your name, right? And so he said, what's the difference, right, when you put face to words? Like Tori, loud. So you go loud Tory. And every time you hear loud Tory, right? And you put that with together. And so he was talking about putting a combination of what the face and what the words sound like that go along with each other. What goes along with who you are? What goes along with what you are? And the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You are a person of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. And it says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. It's faith. It's my belief. It's my whole everything. And whether anything around me is going well, no matter how dry it is around me, remember we were singing about that, there's going to be a river in my world. I'm going to get water from new people. How many are ready to get a drink from somebody else? Like the old people serving you sour water. The water is brown. The water is dirty. And now you have to get a new drink. You got to get this new thing that is coming in. So knowing the names of Jesus. So we're going to deal with all the names of Jesus that he's called throughout chapter 1. So knowing the James of need. Me and John were just talking about slowing down. Knowing the names of Jesus, when we understand Ephesians 2 and 9 through 11, if you are taking notes, you want to write this one down because it's the name, it's the one that says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess at the name of Jesus. Right? Got to know everything is going to bow and confess to that. Let me tell you, this is the most hopeful scripture you can read because when you're talking to someone and they just don't want to believe or they don't get it, realize one day it's going to come to them. Don't get frustrated. Don't get just angry like they're just, I just don't believe you. If you get the opportunity, when the conversation comes up, you keep giving it to them because one day every knee shall bow, tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That's what they're going to do, right? They're going to be able to do it. So don't get discouraged. Don't get your heart broken over the way they're responding right now. Just pray. Here, we're in the book of Revelations. It's going to be revealed. And God's going to reveal it to us. Some of us, it takes more revelation than others. Some of us, we can see it. That's it. So he gives us insight on how powerful our continued witness will be for those in the last days. So titles for Jesus. Here are all the titles for Jesus. The faithful witness. That's verse 5. Faithful witness. Be faithful with your witness. Your mistakes should never stop you from witnessing. Okay? You still share the gospel, right? We say it all the time. I said this on the video. Don't let what's wrong with man keep you from seeing what's right with God. And so we have to make sure that we do it. I love that you brought up the French fry thing because McDonald's make their French fries to live and not die and declare the works of your car. Drop a French fry in there and see, don't it survive? And it looks the same way it does when you bought it, but there's one different detail. It ain't fresh. And may look good, may got the right amount of salt on it, but you bite into it, you just keep chewing. It just, right? Ain't it crazy when we're supposed to be the salt of the earth and if someone bites into us, Have we grown stale? Or is our witness not faithful no more? Like you got to keep your witness faithful even when you're not. Amen? Because our faithfulness is in Christ. That faithfulness fact, 1 John 1:9, it says, when you confess your sin, God is faithful and just. Okay? So sometimes we're trying to do too much. Life ain't too heavy. We're just carrying too much. I don't have to carry all that. I do not have to carry all that. I don't have to be in that place. Listen, the other one in verse 5, it says he's the first born from the dead. He was the first one to resurrect from the dead, born again for salvation. We know Lazarus got up. So this is where people can get off, right? Didn't he call out Lazarus? Jesus came first because he's God, right? Here's the other one. The ruler over the kings of the earth. There ain't a person here in charge of anything that God does not have complete rule over. All right, amen. Thank you. So we're supposed to be praying for people, not persecuting them. No matter what office they're in, no matter what your vote was, no matter how unpopular I am right now, pray for me for revelations for you. He says the Alpha and Omega. That means he's the beginning and the ending. If I'm going to let God start me, I'm going to let God finish me. Philippians 1:6, he that begun a good work in me is able to complete it and perform it. God started this, he's going to finish it. He's capable of finishing every dream you have. Let God finish it. Don't stop. There's a difference between stopping and letting God finish. Let God finish. Galatians 6:9, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you don't faint. Right? So we don't want to faint. We don't want our children. You don't want your child to faint when they get in the midst of a situation where they got to make a good decision. Don't faint. Let them say, no, I'm going to stay upright. I'm going to stay aware of my surroundings. I'm going to keep my mind and my eyes and everything open to what's around me. And I'm not going to faint. That was verse 8. Verse 8 again, who is, who was, and who is to come. Jesus is not changing. God is not going to change for anyone. And what his word has said, that's what he's about. That's who he is, right? He says, I'm the same yesterday and then today. And okay, y'all want me to go ahead and do it all. And forever, okay. So much for the support. I feel like a cheerleader at the game. We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you? And nobody respond like, uh-uh. Like, you just want the cheerleader. Like, if I was cheerleader, I'd throw my pom-pom at somebody. Like, you heard what I said. Say it, man. You got spirit. Climb up in there. Okay, but it's cool. It's cool. I got it. I say I got it. Verse 8 again says the Almighty. And it's good to know the names of Jesus. Why? Why is it good to know the name of Jesus? Because that's who you are. That's who you are. You are Christ. The Bible says, as he is, so are we. Find yourself. If you feel yourself weak, you got to go back. Oh, no. I'm hanging with Almighty. You get on that treadmill, say you're going to do 3 miles, and you stop at 2.8. Alpha. Mega time. I need that Omega to show up, right? I need that finish in me to show up. I need that completer in me to show up. I need that thing that's going to come to a conclusion. I need my heart to conclude that chapter in my life so it keep feeling broken every day. Bible also says it's the Son of Man. Important to know that he was just, God, you can't just kill God. He had to come here as a man. He had to strip himself of all of his power, still be God, but strip himself of all of his power so he could die and resurrect. Because there's no way to kill him if he stay all God. He had to let go. You know, sometimes you have to just let go of some things you're strong in so that others can see you die and resurrect. You have to let some things go. You have to quit winning. And I'm a competitive person, so this was a hard one. Hard one for me. And I was telling the college professors I got to speak to on Tuesday about our motto. Like, if you're going to, my whole theme is bridging success. You're the link between the child and their goals and their dreams and their purpose. Show them your vision. Tell them about your vision. You're the link there. And I said, if you're going to be a bridge, sometimes you got to let people walk on you to get to the side they need to get to. Now, one lady shut her screen off, and I don't know if she just didn't like it, but she wrote in there, I needed to hear that, because she'd been walking. Think about this. In college, you paying them, and she's in there competing with the kids. Wait a minute. Give me my money back then. Right? And she was saying, like, but it was a good thing, like, she just wanted them to learn. So don't take your learning for granted. I said, but you can't come in here and fight them. You don't know where people are coming from. You don't know what's going on. What was your vision? Was that your vision when you became a professor? No, your vision was to teach somebody, teach them life skills, application skills. Every teacher I get to talk to, y'all, I'm telling them the exact same thing. You are not going to get into a professional battle with the students. We need to train them and teach them, not compete them because you know more words. You should. You're older. Not that that matters, but you should have more kids, because I know Miracle got a bunch more words than I do. He says the first and the last. Did I get the Son of Man? Yeah. And the first and the last is the other name of God. And so is God finishing your day? Is God starting your day? Is he finishing your week? Is he finishing your month? Is he finishing your year? right? Because we always have our end of the year prayer time and enter in with Jesus. Let's finish with him too. Let's finish every day. He's the first and the last. I mean, he went all the races. He got them all. And this is one of my favorite ones. Oh, they're all good. Now, that was the Son of Man was verse 13. The first and the last was verse 17. And then the living one was verse 18 is the last one living. So I've given, see, y'all don't even know. We just went through 15 verses. And y'all are, we're getting there, right? Living one, God is alive. He's alive. He's not dead. He's not dead, Jesus. We're going to be celebrating Easter. Did Easter come early? Did Jesus get up earlier this year? Did like, I just feel like we just seem like it's early. But okay, he got up for us every day. So I don't know, you know. Let him be living. Don't live like God is dead. Right? That's part of Revelation, right? I got to live like my God is alive. I got to live like my God is living. Like he right there. He sees me. He's alive. He's a living God. And living God gives that living love. Here's a crazy thing, too. And you can write it down if you want to. I don't care. But because it's like y'all stared at me like I stole something. Just let me know if I need to just send the notes to you. Self-love is not selfish. Okay? And so I'm going to go and say, amen. Until you can have self-love, you can't be yourself. Until you can love yourself, you can't be yourself. Right? And you got to learn to love yourself in order for you to be yourself. Because a lot of times people won't let you be yourself around them. They won't, like, if you be yourself around them, if you're loud, like if you're not at church or something, and even as a pastor, like, I'm not walking around like this at HEB. Go, everybody, give me your grape. Let me see. Raise your hand if you ever got a good papaya. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. But you know what I mean? Like if you got to be you, you got to be yourself and still be okay with that. Right? That's where people struggle. You can be a Christian. You can be all that. But I'm not doing that. Hey, listen. Third orange chapter apple. You're doing that. And what God is he wants us to be authentic. Want us to be real. Because somebody needs to see not only your great expectations, but your limitations as well. Right? So learn how to love yourself so you can be yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't be. You're going to be a rap song. Under the power of his name, he calls us kings and priests. And I thought this was good, right? We've been called kings and priests. And I'm pretty sure they do it in all of, but I've been noticing like a lot in the culture, especially black culture, they call the sons kings. Jesus calls sons and daughters kings. Everybody got the rule. He also called them priests, though. And that was the other part of that where he says kings and priests. And this is where I get in trouble in some of the events and during the funerals. That king died. No, that's a priest, too. Don't forget to pray. Don't just rule. Let God teach you how to rule. Right? And like when Jesus called us kings and priests, that didn't mean we got to go sit in a big chair. We didn't get to become King George, King Jaira, and have big chairs. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about having a rule in your heart that followed the kingdom. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. A kingdom mentality. He not love his middle name because it's king. It's the one I got to pick out. But I would often call him kingdom. Have a rule. What is God's way of doing things? That's the rule. And that's what Jesus said. You are a king. You are a God's way of doing things. Or say it this way. See the king first and everything else will be added. Right? See the king in you. See the be yourself in you so you can be yourself in you. See the love of self in you so you can love yourself. And you love yourself so you can be yourself. And that's not selfish. That's saying that because you know what God has taken you to. Right? You're not just saying that because, oh, I'm so great. I'm so wonderful. I'm not bragging about me. I'm bragging about the God that's in me that changed me, that took me from dark to light, from rags to riches, from unjust to justified. That's my priest. That's what I do. And so when you get home, you have every right to pray over your house. You got every right to sprinkle. You got every right to sprinkle. You got every right to prophesy over your home. Speak vision over your house. You're a priest. And you can go get a robe and a collar if you want to, but that's just up to you. But you can do it in jeans. There he is. Part two. And that's why she frowned at 3 hours. And so you look at that, right? You've been made a king and a priest. You can pray for yourself. Right? You can pray over yourself. You can pray for yourself. It's good to get agreement. I'm not shouting that down. But it's okay to do that, right? Matthew 11, verse 12 said, let me tell you how to operate as a kingdom, right? Because someone breaking into your kingdom, you got to get what? Violent. The Bible says in Matthew 11, 12, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. One of the things I have to be careful about, right, when I say, God, take away my anger, and he wouldn't do it, he says, because that's how I made you. I just need you to be angry about the right stuff. I don't need you to be not angry. I don't need you to be, if God made you emotional or you know, more empathetic, let me say it that way. He don't want you to take that way because people run over you and didn't know how to treat it. He wants you to learn how to put that in the right spot. If God has called you to be that person who just speaks straight out, we call him blunt. Don't stop that. Just learn how to do it under the authority of God. Right? We're taking our teeth out, metaphorically speaking, when we say, okay, I'm just not going to be angry, and I'm just going to let people run over me and slap me and hit me with their car. Jesus, you got to get somebody else. I can't do that. Right? Little rabbits. Let me tell you, when I'm jogging, skunks, I run the other way. Possums scare me. Whatever these little weird-looking dogs out here, I just think are coyotes, they not going to get a shot. They not get a shot. We're going to be able to sit there like, I didn't know what it was till it was eating my face. No. We're not doing that. But let me tell you what I'm not afraid of, and I don't care how many of them are, because there's just about 10 of them, rabbits. Rabbits can't do nothing to nobody and for nobody. And they're not virtuous because they won't hurt anybody. They're not virtuous because they can't hurt nobody. You're virtuous when you got the ability to hurt and you choose not to. When you got the ability to choke off that fry and you choose not to. That's virtuous. When you have the ability to go off on somebody, you have every right to go off on them because of what they said to you and you choose not to, that's power. That's power. That's the powerful part. Look, don't start telling me, you know, we got this whole thing about toxic masculinity. All right, I said, they need to take the masculinity out of these boys and these men. That's a teenage boy. These little boys just run around too much. That's what we do. We run. Run. They want, I know. It's just, they want to take the boy out the boy. And they call it toxic masculinity. What happened to me being me? How am I going to be myself if you got it over there on the shelf? And so God is saying, be who you are. So he says, the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violent take it by force. So you can't take something by force if you've gotten rid of your force taker. Let the force be with you then. It's got to be there, right? Let the kingdom of God be there for you. And he's saying the fact that you could have done what you could have done and you chose not to, that makes you powerful. Now, I don't know about y'all. I'm still working on walking out of the presence of people that may have attacked me and I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. And that was drop the boot on them. I did. Like, Jesus, love you. This I know. And God said, man, don't it feel good? No, it doesn't. God, it doesn't feel good. I feel like I got run over. I feel like I'm getting used. I feel like I'm getting manipulated. I want to go kick somebody in the face. He said, man, doesn't this feel good? You growing. I said, I'm still the same height, God. He says, you're growing. He says, it's powerful to be able to and choose not to. Right? We got some Abel. Y'all, I went to go pick up a watermelon yesterday, so it was too busy because I didn't sleep the night before either. HB got all the way home. This is yesterday morning. Got all the way home, no watermelon in the car. I left it in the basket. A normal person goes ahead, man, just go in the house. What's, I don't know what the policy is on that. Here's what I did. Took my receipt. Didn't even go get out of the car. Didn't get out of the car. I'd only slept 2 hours that night. I'm going back to get my watermelon. We need juice today. That's him. I'm going to get my watermelon. I left it in a basket. You know, that's the only reason you get a basket. You don't want to carry no watermelon around. You just don't look right. Don't feel comfortable. It ain't comfortable. And I went back up there, and my basket that I had put in the little spot, no watermelon. I went in there with my receipt. I said, I know you saw me buy a watermelon, but I did not take it home. I left it in the back. Did anybody turn one in? I wish y'all could have seen the look on dude's face. A watermelon? You think somebody turned that in? A watermelon. They put that in their car. I said, so what I need to do? Because I got the receipt. I'm not trying to. He goes, no, we see you in here all the time. Go get you one. Sometimes we got to learn how to go back. Don't you leave your relative in a basket to die and go to hell. Go get you one. But look on his face, like, turned in a watermelon. Are you serious? Not a watch, not a phone, not some keys, my watermelon. Bro, this for real. And you know why he was good with me? Because I've been consistently going in there 2, 3, 4 times a day. He go, we know you. Let me tell you, if you forget to do the right thing, God knows you. Go turn that watermelon. Go, God, I need another watermelon today. I dropped my last one. I forgot my watermelon. I forgot my sweetness. Anybody forget your sweetness? I don't taste good anymore. We need to get another one. I done rot it out. And here's what he's telling us, right? Don't lose your violence. Don't do it. Like, oh my gosh. Okay, we're just gonna keep going, okay? Revelations 1, verse 9 through 11. All right. John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the 7 churches, to Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia. Y'all heard of Philadelphia? Y'all know what Philadelphia means? Brotherly love. Remember the family? Remember the song? We are family. That's from Philadelphia, people. People from Philadelphia. Okay. All right, and to Laodicea. All right, so we got to do it. But he said this: I heard the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day. Right, there's a day like we need to be coming together on the Lord's day. By the way, God has spoken to you more than you think. You just didn't recognize it. God has spoken to you. Write it all down. You get something pop in your head. You think that's just me? We're not that good. Write it down. It could be just God. Okay, so Ephesus, the apostolic church is what it's called. It's Pentecost, AD 33 to Pentecost to AD 100. It's the death of John in the apostolic age, first century church. Here's what Jesus' title to that church was. Okay, I got 7 minutes. Okay, I got to get this to you in 7 minutes. If not, his title in this particular church was him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the 7 golden lampstands. Now, it's talking about the churches, it's talking about the people, and that's who Jesus is, right? His commendation for that church, they were hardworking, persevering, discerning of false doctrine. His complaint about them, left their first love. So sometimes we can work hard and still we just work hard because we know to work hard, but we really ain't in love with the first love anymore. We're just doing what we know we're supposed to do because it's the routine thing to do. I'd love to stay long in there, but I got 6 minutes now. And time dropping on the Smyrna. Oh, wait, the reward for them was to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Because when you correct all that, you will eat from the tree of life. We know what happened to the last people that ate from that tree because they did it when they weren't supposed to. But when God tells us to eat there, it's good food. It's good eating. The fruit ain't in the basket. Can you imagine a juice I'm going to be making up in heaven? Oh, mangoes. Mango. All right, let's go to the next church, Smyrna. This is the suffering church, is what it's called. It's Constantine made Christianity a state religion, permeated with a pagan customs and practices. Now, remember, right, what it say, separate church and state. So it's right there. It's like he said, we're going to make it a state thing if we could put all this other stuff in it, though. One of the things, too, like the program I do, it's a mentoring program, and the reason why you can't just have anybody get in it because there's a recruitment and selection process. Because we got to find kids that care about helping kids. You can't just walk in there and say, I want to be in here. No, that's not how it works. You got to actually interview to be in it. You can't just walk in there. Listen, we can't just give the Christiano, hey, everybody get to see us, and we got to put in all this stuff that doesn't align itself with Christ. Right? His commendation for the suffering. Well, first his name was him who is the first and the last who died and came to life again. That's Jesus. Commendations for them, afflicted, poor, persecuted, yet faithful and rich in the Lord. Isn't that a good thing? Because sometimes when people go through stuff, they quit believing in God. Right? And he says it's good. He ain't got no complaints with them. He had no complaints with them. What? Oh, I thought you had a question. Y'all know this is open mic morning, right? So y'all can say, like, whatever. So I thought she had a question. You better get brother excited. I thought she had one from him. It was Pamela. All right, his reward for them is the crown of life, unhurt by the second death. Hey, listen, you receive Christ. When you die, the second death can't get you. That's why we can say at funerals, death has no sting. Has no sting. I'm done. I've died my last death. Right? That's why, again, I'm pretty sure I said everywhere, but growing up as a black person, which I grew up my whole life as a black person, they would say they passed. Remember that? They didn't die. We never heard death. They passed. They went from this life to heaven. It's passing. Y'all say that? Chris, did you ever hear that? Y'all heard it? Okay. So it ain't just black. It's just, that's all I was. I didn't get to switch it up. None. Oh my gosh, dude, find your spot. See, I play too much. Pergamum. See, this is what I want y'all to do. Like, when I get off, I need y'all to get on. Pergamum, the state church, is the beginning of the Roman, this was the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? Right here in the 80s stuff. Jesus titled him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I got one. I just don't always use it for Christ, right? I use it for comebacks and sarcasm. And God goes, wrong end of the blade. Because you're not cutting them, you're cutting you. I know, girl. Double-edged. Commendation for them. They have not renounced their faith despite martyrdom and Antipas. Now listen, they were being killed, right? We see this overseas where if you're Christian, heads are being cut off. But they said, and they said, you better renounce Jesus. No, that's the last time. That's the craziest thing. That you about to kill me anyway? And I'm going to say, no, he ain't real. I'm going to trust you with your knife. Take me out. Bowl with it. My head shaved anyway. You just use it for bowling alley. I ain't going to denounce Jesus right before I die. Is that crazy? They just asked that, tell him he's not real. No. They cut him off. Anyway, they kept it going. And this is why I can't get through stuff. His complaint, a marriage of the church and the world doctrine. They married the two doctrines of Balaam and doctrine of Nicolaitans. Hidden, their reward, though, was hidden manna, white stone, and a new name. And let's say, with a new name. Now listen, that hidden manna part, y'all listen, we're at a time, right? Food's going up, things are being scarce. Hold your water, right? God's going to have a place for us, right? The supply is still there, okay? The supply is still there. Don't do that. Don't go out looking for bread. We're going to do Easter egg hunt next week, but you know what I mean. It's there. Thyatira, I guess. This is the idolatrous church. It's the Roman Catholic Church, beginning of Protestant Reformation. So they were starting to split off. As people started to get in the word, and so they're starting to split off. And this title here is the Son of God. Commendations, love, faith, service, perseverance. That's great stuff. His complaint, they were tolerant of sin. Tolerant of sin. The Jezebel issue. How many of y'all thought Jezebel was a bad name? Like you couldn't name your kid Jezebel because why would you do that to your child? Just because of what they said Jezebel. Jezebel in the Bible was such a it was the, it, they tried to make it equal to scripture. The behavior, they tried to make it, oh yeah, this is what God wants. Jesus had a problem with that. Seduce God's people with idolatry, a system of works. This is what it was. This was the label of the church. Now, this is why we talk about Revelations and Jesus was coming back. And people think like, man, you know, the church has gotten so far off. No, the church has been off before. But the deal is we have a map to get back. Amen. You know what I mean? We got GPS. God's people. Reward. You get to get your authority to rule given the morning star. Dang it. Okay, one more minute. Let me just get Sardis in there so we can get further than the people online. This one, man, this one hurts. This was a swing. The Protestant church, the dead church. Dead. Protestant Reformation ongoing. It was the Great Awakening. It's talking about John Edwards, 1735. John Wesley started. This is all these great people. Great Awakening. Jesus' title, him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Commendations, a remnant, a holy people. Not everyone's going to travel with you when you start walking completely straight up for God. When Jesus rose, 500 people were following him. When we look at the upper room in Acts, only 120 people kept coming. Now everybody's going to follow. You're going to have a Gideon revival at some point in your life. Right? Because they don't want to cook right. Gosh. Remnant of holy people. Complaint. Alive and reputable. They were alive in reputation, dead in actuality. They had a good reputation, but actually they were dead. Be careful. That's why we take our kids. Don't be trying to get popular if your real life ain't. I love people when they post online. It's highlights. If we posted our vacations on there, we only post when we arrive. Because on the way down there, we're swinging. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. Ain't nobody posting the ride. Sit down. Why you got to go to the restroom all the time? We have to be the angriest family going into a convenience store because I just didn't want to stop. And they walking around, looking around, like, come on, man. I got them nuts over there. No, just get in the car. Chew on a wrapper. But anyway, you got to have an actuality. You can't, yeah, your name may be in lights, but your soul is in hell. Incomplete in deeds. Don't finish the stuff they started. And we're not talking about dish work. We're talking about prayer work spiritually. Okay? Reward, dressed in white. Think about that, the recovery though, who come to Christ, dressed in white. Name in the book of life. Woo, that's a good name. Okay. Next time we're going to hit Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Okay? We'll jump on that. You guys bow your heads. Do y'all have any questions? I know the answer to this. I just want to say it out loud and confirm that I know nobody's going to respond with a question.